Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Rob Ray joins Schopen Bulldog game days at 4. Howard and Jeremy welcome Marty Biron Thursday mornings at 7:30 on WGR Sports Radio 550.
And there they all are right there. What's in there? Sal Capaccio's in there. Jeremy White, Schopen the Bulldog. There's Alan Davis, John and Brian Cozio, Pat Malacaro. Whole crew is in there.
Really?
And you know what? Paul is the only one upstairs working. The rest of the guys are on vacation. Working 9 to 5.
I love that clip every time for lots of different reasons, especially like Rob saying, what's in there? I love Rob saying, what's in there? And also, we should probably at some point point out that like Rob is not on our show every game anymore. Like
at
for as many times
right.
as we've played that, like that's actually not correct. But anyway, yes, love you, Rob. Okay, Paul Hamilton now on the Wester Hotline. Boy, Paul, don't we sound sort of giddy here about the Sabres now overall?
Well, you guys are the only ones working today. I mean, with the team out of town and not practicing today, I've basically done a few shows and caught up on stuff around the house. And so you guys are the only ones working today.
Oh, my gosh, Paul.
I'm on vacation today.
Before we'll get to the team, are you a good worker around the house? Are you like somebody who's pretty self-motivated?
No.
Okay, good.
And what happens is I will get halfway through something and I'll start something else because I get bored. And then by the time I'm done, I've got 7 things started. And it tends to get, you know, it's hard to get one thing done doing it that way.
The fastest I ever move is if, like, I have something coming up, whether it's even a work shift or something, like an appointment on an off day that gets canceled. Is like, oh, great, beer. You know, like I'll just sprint or whatever. Like, just, and then, I don't know, it could be a nap. It could be just fantasy stuff. Just, I just can't wait to sort of basically waste that time. So today, this is why I say this. Today, my wife's work, she couldn't do her work. There was a thing and she could not do her work. And she's at the house and she's sort of like, huh, this is weird. Like, the kids are in school. And so what does she do? She comes up after like a few minutes. She comes upstairs. I'm upstairs doing nothing. She goes, "Do you have a surprise?" Right? She goes, "Do you have an old toothbrush?" I'm like, "Yeah," and she starts to scrub the doors of the cabinets, like the little creases and crevices on the doors of the.
My mother used to do that with a toothbrush.
And she's got the towel on the floor. And after like a few minutes, I come over and the towel is all dirty. She's like, "This was a clean towel 20 minutes ago, just scrubbing the doors." Like, I could live 50 lives and never even think of needing to do that.
Yeah, I live alone and I'm a guy, so needless to say, I have not gotten the toothbrush out yet since I've lived alone.
Needless to say is right. Oh, my gosh. I'm just in awe of her. Like, just to think, you know, what could I be doing with my time right now? Why don't I scrub these cabinets? It's just the best.
I'm in awe of having old toothbrushes around. Like, I mean, good idea. I throw them away when I replace them. But it's good to have them for these sorts of jobs.
This was, no, that's right. I do, too. But I happen to have an extra one because of, like, taking some traveling, right? So I'll have the extra one is when I'm traveling because I'll have a home toothbrush and then a road toothbrush. Is that normal? And so I decided to sacrifice the road toothbrush for this. The Sabres
It's normal. I have a road toothbrush.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. The Sabres are winning all the time. We were talking about Victor Olofsson half an hour ago. Scores the goal that stands as the winner last night. It's 10 goals in 12 games. What is Olofsson for you? Is he somebody who has kind of gotten back to a certain level, or was he always, or just what?
But there's been improvement in his game, too. He's not as big a reliability as he used to be. And it goes into his game now. You know, he's not playing on the outskirts. You know, and the one thing I've noticed is he's better on the forecheck. When he gets along the wall, he actually wins some battles and comes out with the puck and then gets some opportunities towards the net, either for himself or for his line mates, which is new. I mean, he didn't used to battle all that hard when it came to that kind of stuff. And a lot of times didn't even show up to the battle. So I think that's improved, and I think that's helped his point totals. Because now they get in there, they get more offensive zone time. I think Jost and Mittelstadt have all been better too. And now you have a better line that spends more time in the offensive zone than they were earlier in this season. So it's more than just scoring goals. I think his overall game has improved, which has helped him on this goal-scoring streak.
Look, that line isn't perfect. They're not bulletproof. No. But Jost, Paul, has really brought that group together. And I don't know, we were together on Twitter, commenting with a few different people the other night, like about the, you know, roles on the team, even like moving forward. And like Jost is sort of, I think, in a spot where I think a lot of fans, and I would even include myself here, you eventually maybe see Krebs, right? Like Krebs is on a fourth line and Jost is on this line with two offensive players, and you might think, like, I don't know, that should probably be reversed, but it's all working, like, so I don't want to mess mm-hmm. with anything. I'm just going a long way to say Jost has really made a difference. Like, mm-hmm. for a waiver claim, I feel like he helped make, there's nothing against, like, the work those guys have done themselves, but like he's really helped make Mittelstadt and Olofsson into players who aren't liabilities 5-on-5.
Well, guys, don't forget it was reversed for a little bit, and it wasn't working. So then they flipped Jost and Krebs, and all of a sudden both lines worked. And you're right. I'd be shocked if that's going to be Krebs' line for his career. Mm-hmm. Right now it's working, but it'll change. I mean, whether it's this year or next year or at some point, I think it has helped Krebs immensely to learn how to play in the National Hockey League by playing with those two. And he, too, has improved his overall game by playing with those two, and that will help him as he goes to different lines. You know, you don't have to worry about him, you know, whether it's, you know, in the defensive zone, or, you know, whether it's going to be in the offensive zone. You know, I like the way he gets in on people and gets in on the forecheck. And you know, you hear Rob all the time going, you know, Krebs got in a shoving match last night. He goes, look out. Krebs' name's getting right. around in the NHL. Look
he's
out
become
for
likes
Krebs.
To fight guy. I don't know what. Did not have that on the bingo card, I'll tell you.
It's fun, though. Last night was really good. You know, that was a pretty impressive, thorough win. And Bulldog has this thing about how they hadn't won hardly at all season without scoring four goals, and now they've won three games like that in like a week.
Yeah, they have, and that, I mean, for anybody who didn't see the game, don't let the score fool you. The Sabres dominated.
Oh my God, they speed bagged that team.
Yeah,
I mean, they absolutely drummed them.
Yeah, again, even though there was maybe one goal, the power goal that Hullabuck might want back, he was making great saves just like he did in Buffalo. But the Sabres were using their speed. That's twice now the Sabres have dominated the Jets by using speed, and the Jets just can't handle it. And, you know, they really did in that game and probably easily could have had more than three goals than they had in that game. But, the Jets scored with the goalie pull twice, one to 6-on-4 on a power play and one to 6-on-5. It was basically, and they, what did they get, 21 shots the whole game? And I would say maybe five or six of them came in the last 3 minutes. So it was a pretty dominant effort by that Sabre team.
How about that, though? I mean, Winnipeg is 31-18 going into that game. You know, like that's second in the West.
Yeah. Yeah, this week they've gone into the number one and two teams in the West and beaten them both, Dallas and Winnipeg. You know, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
I mean, you know, and their road record is just, you know, obscene lately. I mean, they just 12-2-1 in their last 15 road games and 9-1-1 in their last 11. I mean, yep. We couldn't say that back. I bet if you looked it up, you probably couldn't have said that in the French Connection years or even the Briere and Drury years. where they're rolling around in a 12-2-1 on the road and 9-1-1 after 11. I don't know. It would be pretty tough.
Yeah, and something else that stands out. I happen to come across it's Micah Blake McCurdy. What is his site, Mike? Do you know it offhand?
No.
The hockey site. Okay. He's one of these analytics hockey sites that like tweets out the graphs and charts and all this stuff.
Ineffective math.
Thank you. Ineffective math. He had a chart with the goalies, and it's like goals saved above expected chart, and the high end of that chart, like Ullmark, is off all kind of by himself. Mm-hmm. Then there's a group of four guys that are just sort of nipping at Ullmark's heels, and the Sabres have beaten all four of those guys. It's Saros, it's Ottinger, Hellebuyck, and Sorokin. Like, they're not getting the backup goalies anymore, and they're still beating these teams. Like, they're potent. I mean, it's just another way to – I saw that. I was like, damn. Like, put a circle around those four goalies right there. Like, those are elite goalies in the league, and the Sabres have gotten them all in the last – I don't know. When was the Nashville game? That's the furthest one away. That was December sometime. Either way, they're really potent. It's not – there's nothing fluky about it is all I'm saying.
And can you imagine he had a mask on, but the way he was standing there after they scored that Thompson goal and Hellebuck's basically on the way to the corner.
Yeah.
And he's standing there looking up at the scoreboard. Can you imagine what the look on his face was after standing there? Because you could tell by the body language, I think, what the look on his face was. Just like, are you kidding me? Type of a thing. And it was, I mean, how many times do you see the goaltender basically standing 5 feet from the net on right. his way to the corner as the goal is being scored?
It does not happen in the NHL. It just doesn't happen. That's what part of what makes that play so incredible to me is what where the goal, you know, he's standing there with his hands at his sides as that puck hits the back of the net. Just
You do see it in 11U.
Yes,
you,
that's right.
You do see it in 11 years.
Believe me, I saw it plenty in my day. My kid, too.
Well, Paul, the question continues. Well, I don't know. Sorry to be like that. I was going to say, the question is, like, are you surprised? We've talked all the time. This Sabre team is building. The winning is building. It's right on the cusp of a playoff spot now. Like, how good a story is this?
I can tell you what, I'm surprised at what I'm watching right now this week, especially yesterday. They are almost done with 13 games in 22 days. Yesterday was right. 7 games in 11 and 3-4 against a good team. So I'm thinking, all right, you can maybe find a way to win because they tend to do that sometimes, but it's not going to be easy. I mean, I could see them running out of gas. I did not see them at all run out of gas in that game. And I'm thinking, where are they getting this energy from? I know they're young, but because there are other times they don't. Now, part of it is I don't think they've practiced in 2 weeks. I mean, if it's an off day like today, they don't go on the ice because he wants them fresh for the games. That seems to be working very well. But there have been other games they've done that, and, you know, the third period it got a little dicey. And, you know, in St. Louis, it got a little dicey.
Yep.
I thought they were starting to run out of gas a little bit there. Not last night. They were – and I'm just thinking to myself, how are they doing this? I mean, and it's just amazing. So, yeah, they still do surprise me at times, and that's what surprised me last night.
Yeah, well, they have time off coming up. It's been busy. He might want to get practices in coming up. They have this game tomorrow at Minnesota. They are home to Carolina on Wednesday. Then they are off for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that they won't be able to practice, right? That's
right.
A bye, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, they'll be off Sunday, and then they'll get a couple of practices in before Carolina. And I believe somewhere around the 9th they'll come back and start practicing. You know, because they have the All-Star break, and then they have their bye. So somewhere in that range, 8th, 9th, 10th, somewhere in there, they'll come back and start practicing. And they'll get a couple in, as I said, before the Carolina game.
Very good, Paul. Plans for the weekend? Since you won't be toothbrushing your cabinets?
Actually, Brian woke me up. I always am on top of this. I wasn't. I didn't realize Saturday's game is 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
I don't know when they changed that, because it's on my calendar, it's 8 o'clock, so it was changed at some point.
It's pay-per-view.
I missed the change. I'm thinking, Minnesota game at 9 o'clock? Why? I don't need a 9 o'clock game. I could have used it at 1 o'clock, maybe. That might have fit into my schedule, and then I could have gone and done something on Saturday. But, 9 o'clock didn't think was all that convenient.
All right, then you'll watch the football on Sunday, I assume.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll watch the football. I do, even though I can't get in on fantasy hockey, I do get in on playoff fantasy football, which is always fun. You get one guy from each playoff team.
Yes. Do you have a team that's still standing?
I don't think I can make it. You know, we all have four guys left.
Right.
And but I think I'm too far behind.
Oh, because you pick exactly 14?
Like yeah, you one take from one guy from each team, so as your teams lose, you lose that player. So we all have four guys left.
Is your quarterback done?
You get four quarterbacks. Four quarterbacks, five running backs, five wide receivers.
I remember this thing.
And I have Hurts, but most of the other guys have Hurts. I decided not to take Mahomes, but it's still not going to be – even like if Mahomes gets hurt, I would need McKinnon to get like 35 points in the next two games to even jump up into where the other people are, which I suppose is possible with his ankle.
Who was your biggest long shot play, if you remember?
I don't know. It was McKinnon. Do you think McKinnon taking McKinnon? I didn't take Kelsey, and I didn't take Mahomes. But McKinnon, if you look in the regular season for 9 weeks, there were weeks he was rolling up close to 30 points.
Oh, my gosh.
In a row.
He won my buddies $1 million. Like, yeah.
Really?
Late in the year. The game against Houston. Week 15.
You like that? Paulie just casually drops in. He knows people who won $1 million playing. Yeah, my buddies won $1 million because of McKinnon.
Yeah, it's not like 20 or 100. You know, it's
these
it's
guys
yeah.
ran so pure. They won the thing last year for $500,000, local guys. Yeah, I've mentioned this. And then this year, they got into week 15 where our playoffs start, and they were behind. So this is where these guys are really sharp. They play guys that, on the basis of, like, no one else will, right? So not no one, literally, but just, like, they have to be different because you're playing against a lot of teams that have some of the same players in this format, just like yours is. So they played McKinnon and Zay Jones, and McKinnon had three touchdowns against Houston, and Zay Jones had three touchdowns against Dallas, and they went right to first and then held on. Not bad, right?
Yeah, that's not bad at all. By not taking Mahomes, it allowed me to take Burrow, which hasn't been bad. So I have Burrow, Hurts, Kittle, and McKinnon. And
okay.
So I suppose if Mahomes gets hurt pretty quick in that game and they make it to the Super Bowl and McKinnon goes nuts, that's the only way I could pop up there. I had Ingram also from Jacksonville, who actually did pretty well for me. That was the other one that was a little bit off the beaten path for me. Brady. Okay. I took Brady. I thought they could beat Dallas, so I took him. That didn't work out.
Where do you guys want Brady next year? Like, other than the Himalayas?
I don't think he should play. I think he was bad enough this year. I think if he keeps going, he's going to embarrass himself. I think he's done. I think he should be done. Don't take it any longer, because I think you kind of embarrassed yourself this year, Tom Brady. Hmm. So I think it should end at the end of this year.
I want him in Vegas, because that's where washed up superstars go to, like, extend their careers to an extent. Anyway, I mean, I know there's lots of people who aren't washed up that perform there, but it just would sort of fit if he went there. And then I don't know, maybe I don't want to say anything too graphic. Vegas makes perfect sense to me.
Do you think for sure he'll play?
I would bet on him playing.
Today.
I would bet on him playing.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So would I.
All right, just to be different, I'm going to bet that he doesn't.
Good luck. Unless you guys want to firm something up. I mean, I don't know.
Give me odds, and yeah, we can firm something up.
There would be odds on this. Like, I don't even know what they would be. Like, is it likely he plays? I think it is.
Well, you've got a little time. You can give this some thought, and you know, we can develop something.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
Take care, guys.
There you go. That's our man, Paul Hamilton, on our Wester Hotline. His reports here on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
A look at the matchup, Chiefs-Bengals Sunday with Alex Gold out of Kansas City. He'll join us after sports. We don't have a bet this year because we don't have a Chiefs-Bills game, as it happens. That makes sense, right? I wonder if he has a bet with the Cincy guys. Anyway, I'm sure you care a lot about that. Alex Gold coming up as we continue on this Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. Happy Friday, I guess.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm happy it's Friday.
I am too, but, you know, still there's a void.
Yeah.
There's a void. Joining us now to make it worse on the Wester Hotline, Alex Gold. Sorry, Alex. Alex is the co-host of Cody and Gold 610 in Kansas City with Cody Tapp. You can also find him now and again on BetQL. And I just mentioned before the break, Alex, it just occurred to me, we don't have a bet this year. I guess that makes sense. Did you rope Cincinnati into some food action here?
We actually mentioned this on the show here locally a day or two ago. We realized we've actually never made a bet with Cincinnati. I don't know anybody in Cincinnati. We've really just not we haven't approached it with Cincy for whatever reason. We've been doing the bets with you guys. And I'll be honest, I mean, I don't know if this will make it feel any better for people in Buffalo. Like, we were hoping it was the Bills as well, even if I'm in a neutral site game. I felt that way prior to seeing the Cincy and Buffalo game last week. Felt like, frankly, that Cincy was the better team. I think Chiefs fans would have rather been playing Buffalo this weekend.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, they've lost three in a row to the Bengals, right? So, sure, the Bills beat you in the regular season two times in a row, but we know how the playoffs have gone, so that's not surprising.
You know, it's a good thing you don't bet with those guys.
Why right? is that? I don't want any skyline chili.
Well, no, but just given recent games, you wouldn't get any food out of it.
Yeah, we'd be sending them some barbecue, and I definitely wouldn't want any skyline chili. But yeah, I mean, three matchups, and this has been the Chiefs' kryptonite. There's no doubt about that. I think it's understandable why we've seen so much trash talk come out of Cincy. Look, they deserve it. They've earned that right at this point to win three straight games, and including the biggest possible game on the road that you can win other than a Super Bowl at Arrowhead, an AFC title game last year. You know, it's certainly a huge part of the discussion this week. I think what gets maybe lost in the whole shuffle a little bit is only that it's not as if either team, you know, at any point necessarily has been dominant in these games. If anything, it was the Chiefs had double-digit leads in two of the three. That all three games combined, the margin of defeat has been 9 points. So as much as Cincinnati, no doubt, has made those big plays, that's the key, right? Made the big plays in the fourth quarter. It's not as if Cincinnati has dominated these games, which is why, like, I still think we're talking about a very close coin flip type of game on Sunday night, even with some of the injuries right now for Kansas City.
How have we gotten there? Like, how have the Bengals managed to do it? Like, the second halves of these games have been very tough in the fourth quarter, especially for Kansas City to move the ball and score on the Bengals. Like, what is it that is it just exotic different looks that they're always changing up so they can't get their hands around what's coming? Like, how do you? I'm sure you've been talking about it. Like, how would you explain it away?
Yeah, I mean, starting on the offensive side, you know, in this last match, if you go back and you watch how it went, it really offensively the Chiefs were able to move the ball until they made a crucial mistake, which has happened in each one of them, and that was a turnover. You know, this team is bottom of the barrel, 27th or so in turnover differential. The Chiefs are the only remaining playoff team with negative turnover differential in the postseason, and that came to bite them in Week 13 in particular this year, where they had the ball late with a four-point lead, 7 minutes or so to go. They're driving, all momentum on their side, and then a really rare Travis Kelce fumble. You get a 50-plus yard field goal miss from Harrison Butker. They have made way too many mistakes in these games. You know, offensively, other than the title game where we saw Mahomes play, you know, the worst second half and worst half, really, of his NFL career, and I really think it's probably one of two or three halves you could even point to where he has just flat-out struggled. The Chiefs have moved the ball on Cincy. It has just been either special teams mistakes, a turnover, or more importantly, guys, I think really where this game is going to be decided has been their inability to shut down Joe Burrow, or at least get the one stop. Not shut him down, but get the one stop when needed in the fourth quarter, either aided by penalty. You know, the Chiefs on the three matchups, six different scoring drives had a penalty on third or fourth down go against Kansas City. They, you know, those are the type of mistakes that just cannot happen. And they can't get home to Joe Burrow. You know, this year even, number two defense in sacks, the Chiefs are, yet they were only able to sack Joe Burrow once, and it was kind of a play where he gave himself up. So I really think the game's going to be decided whether or not you really deep down believe that Chris Jones or Frank Clark or George Karlaftis could actually get in the face of Joe Burrow. If they can't, the Chiefs aren't winning this game if they go through this with no sacks. No chance.
That should help being home, it would seem, for this game. Of course, they were in the playoffs last year, though, also with Alex Gold here on WGR. What is your read on the Mahomes injury, Alex? It's been a fun week, you know, reading different theories about that and then seeing him bounce off that podium the other day, you know, looking fine. I don't know. Like, what's the truth?
Yeah, the podium videos are, I mean, we've had fun with those. I mean, like, the guy just taking one step off a podium. We've seen, you know, like you guys, the 15 minutes of practice availability that every team has. And you know, he certainly isn't walking at 100%, but it looks a lot better than everybody thought. I think the optimism has grown as the week has gone on. You go to where we were at on Monday, and everybody in Kansas City was really concerned about the mobility. I think as the week has gone on, everybody feels a lot better about it, but there's no way he's going to be 100%. I mean, this is still a high ankle sprain. You're not going to be 100% probably till March at this point, if you're really being honest with yourself. And Patrick Mahomes even acknowledged yesterday in his media availability that he's not 100% sure what he's fully going to be able to do until he gets into a game situation. You know, it's one thing to go through practice and think, oh, you know what, I can make this, but is he going to be able to make the play where normally he's able to run to the edge until he beats someone to the edge of the sideline? I'm going to guess the answer to that is no, guys. You know, I think he's going to be about 75% mobility for this game. Now, pocket passer Patrick Mahomes is, you know, still one of the best, if not the best quarterback in the league. So it's not as if, oh my gosh, he can't pass for the pocket. However, we all know some of the more memorable plays in his career that makes him so special are because of his ability to create and buy some time and dodge some defenders. And I think that's where it's going to hurt him and hurt the offense the most.
How about for individuals in this game, Alex? When you and I talked on Saturday about Bills Bengals and some props ideas, I didn't do that well. I didn't see snow happening all throughout that game. And I think that might have slowed the game down a little bit. But regardless, the Bills only end up at 10 points. Obviously, they didn't smash at all. Do you have a receiver for Kansas City you like? I'm waiting for Kadarius Toney to pop here. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Could this be the week?
Yeah, I mean, that's the name that's fun for everybody if you think about who has a chance to make a couple guys miss and create that big play. You know, and Kadarius Toney did not play in the Week 13 matchup. They didn't have Kadarius Toney or Mecole Hardman. You know, Mecole Hardman's still questionable for this game on Sunday, so I still don't know if we're going to see what this offense looks like with both of those type of skill sets available at the same time. I like Kadarius Toney for an anytime touchdown. I'm not a huge fan of, you know, looking at the yardage. I think it's 35.5, 37.5, depending on what book you're looking at. I'm not so sure he's going to be that involved, but where I think he could be beneficial in the red zone, maybe it's only two catches for the game, but he makes a guy or two miss, and all of a sudden he's in the end zone on a 9-yard reception, but it's a crucial play. I think that's probably where I like Toney the most. As far as any other receiver to step up, it feels like it's about time for Juju to get back on track. If you go look at his last four games, he's really only been averaging about 30 yards, guys, and he hasn't been able to get the yards after the catch the way he was. I think some of it is how this offense operates, where it is a different guy every week other than Kelce that maybe steps up. But it feels like if you're Juju and what you have on the line, you're a free agent this offseason, this is your first AFC title game, it seems like there's a big opportunity here, I believe, for Juju Smith-Schuster to go out and have really a statement type of performance, especially with the news we're getting right now out of KC, where it seems like it's going to be all right, but all of a sudden out of nowhere, Travis Kelce is popped up as questionable with a back injury for Sunday's game, which came out of nowhere this afternoon. Now, he was still listed, at least, as a full participant in practice. So, the hope here is at least that it's a situation where at the end of practice, he said, hey, my back's a little tight or something. He went and got treatment. He missed his media availability that was scheduled. So that's something to watch at least heading into Sunday.
And what are the Chiefs at running back? It's Pacheco and McKinnon, and like is that pretty much it?
Yeah, that's where we're at. I mean, yeah, I would be, maybe Ronald Jones gets a random carry at some point, but that's the backfield. And it's interesting when you look at the injury to Mahomes and how that can play a role in this too. Not so much that I think they're going to run the ball a ton, but just that Jerick McKinnon is a great pass protector. If they have to leave him in more to help out their left tackle, Orlando Brown, or their right tackle, Andrew Wiley, knowing that Mahomes is maybe a little less mobile, well, then that takes an element of the offense away to where suddenly Jerick McKinnon's not that screen option for you, and he's been great as a receiving option for this football team. So I think that's where it impacts it. Isaiah Pacheco has to be able to, I think, be part of the equation in the fourth quarter. I mentioned they struggled to close games out against Cincinnati. And I know they're never going to be a running football team, nor should they. They have Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback. However, if you got a lead and there's 7 minutes to go and it's January football and the AFC title game, Isaiah Pacheco has the running style to give him the ball and let him go run some guys over. I mean, he runs with a certain burst of energy that is pretty unique. There's a few guys in the league that provide that. And I think that's an area where that could help them close out some of these games a little bit more, in particular this one on Sunday night.
McKinnon plus 450 to catch at least 7 passes in this game, and especially if they get down, of course. Yeah, me too. Especially if they get down, but even if they don't, if Mahomes is hobbled at all. What's the weather supposed to be like?
So, no snow. It's going to be clear in that regard. At one point early in the week, there was a chance of that, but it's not going to be snow. It's going to be cold and a little windy. There's some talk, maybe 15-mile-per-hour wind. Nothing crazy, but still it can play a little bit of a factor. And then temperature-wise, we're looking around 20 degrees at kickoff. By the time you get further in the game, wind chill could get down to eight degrees or so. So, I mean, look, it's cold, but it's nothing crazy like what you guys had up there, with the snow throughout the game. And I think that really impacted the ability for the Bills, at least from our standpoint here in Kansas City, our standpoint of going after the three offensive linemen that were out and that were in and newcomers. And so I think there's a chance the Chiefs pass rush could have a little bit more success, not only because they're at home, but the field and the track there should be a little bit easier for these teams to get after the quarterback.
Before you go, Alex, the other game, just from a betting standpoint or not, maybe which, if you are looking ahead, if Kansas City were to win, which team is the bet? I mean, it's Andy Reid against the Eagles. It'd be nice for Philadelphia fans. Then the other, the Niners are a rematch from 3 years ago. What works for you here?
Plenty of storylines. Yeah, you hit on the two biggest ones. Obviously, the Kelce brothers, I think, would be the first brothers to play each other in a Super Bowl. So that's fun. I mean, it's from a competitive standpoint, I think you still would take San Fran for a couple reasons. One, the Chiefs did play them earlier this year. The last loss for San Francisco, I believe, it was Kansas City, where the Chiefs put up 44 points. Now, in fairness, that was the first game for Christian McCaffrey. So they didn't have to deal with the full dose of McCaffrey, and that was Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, not Brock Purdy. But I'll still take a matchup against a guy that is still a third-string quarterback, or was a third-string quarterback, versus Jalen Hurts, who was an MVP candidate for 75-80% of the season. So I think the look-ahead lines even are out, where the Chiefs would be one-point favorites against, or 1.5 against San Francisco, and it'd either be a pick 'em or one-point dogs to Philly. So I'll take San Fran in that potential matchup for the Chiefs' choice of opponent, I should say.
Very good. Well, again, I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to bet. With the game in Atlanta, I thought maybe Chick-fil-A to the winner had that happened.
Yeah. Do you guys not have Chick-fil-A up there?
We do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's not at all a staple, I think, but I think of Atlanta, that's the food I think of. Is that wrong? Is there a better
No, I think you're right. I know that's where they're based out of Georgia. Like Coca-Cola's based out of Georgia. Something it'd be something like that, but yep. I have a feeling we'll have a chance to make some bets in the future.
Good.
You know, I don't think suddenly Buffalo's falling off the face of the earth.
And Bulldog, still, the right question is, how come we never bet with, like, the Jet people? Or why is it only ever Kansas City that we bet with?
The Jets would need to make the playoffs for us to bet with them.
I think you guys need to.
And Atlanta has to be known for some other food than a chain restaurant. Like, come on.
But what is it?
I don't know it, but it's got to be something. Chicken and waffles
or something. Peanuts.
Yeah, like there's a Waffle House probably every block there or something. That's a chain, too.
I don't know the answer. Peanuts is the best I can do. All right. Thank you, Alex.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Alex Gold, at Alex Gold on Twitter. Kansas City 610 Sports Radio there. We will take a break. Picks coming up. Time for your calls, too. 803-0550. A lot of Sabres today. If you want to hear that and missed it, the Audacy app, AUDACY or WGR550.com. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. This is WGR. Happy Friday. Welcome back. The Sabres are off tonight. Sadly, they will play tomorrow night in Minnesota, 9 o'clock our time, to try to make it 11-1-1 on the road this season against teams from the Western Conference. Then they're home Wednesday, and then they're off for a week and a half. Well-deserved break.
I'm gonna miss them.
Yeah. Other teams are playing, though.
Yeah.
They'll fall behind a little bit, probably. Maybe not.
Yeah, they may, yeah, right. But they'll also probably pick up more games in hand on Sunday.
Definitely. Yeah.
That'll all even out eventually. Everybody's going to get this week off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I don't even know if any teams have already had it, actually. I haven't been following that closely.
Hmm.
But they're still, I mean, Washington, I think I saw today their odds of getting the first wild card right now, which is held by Washington. So their odds of, like, beating out Washington are better than their odds of beating out the Penguins. The games in hand, I think, are the reason why.
Yeah. That's right. And they're over 50% to make it.
Yeah.
Money puck. Oh, why didn't I think of that name when I was building websites?
Very, very helpful site, Money Puck.
Why didn't I think of Money Puck as a site? When you buy, you've done it. When you pay for a domain name, where does the money go? Who are you paying? Who has the right to sell the domain names?
Jeff Bezos.
I've always wondered that. Like, I've never wanted to buy a domain name because I'm not sure who I'm paying. This is going to sound really stupid to a lot of people listening right now. Like, you don't know that? But I really don't. I don't know. Like, who is the God? Who's in charge of, like, okay, I have the right to sell you this name on the internet. Who are you paying? So about 100 people.
I don't know, but I got to get in on that. That seems like that's a great source of income. It seems.
Yeah, you don't actually have anything, but then somebody comes to you and they want to, you know, buy Money Puck, and then you sell it, you get money, and that's it. Yeah, you're right. That sounds like a good deal.
Yeah,
selling domain names. Just go to Bulldog with your ideas, and he'll let you know what it costs, and then you can go and get started.
Yes, this is an area of extensive experience and expertise in this area.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever said on the air. I mean, just I have no idea where that money goes. Who is selling these things? How did you get control of Money Puck or every other website name? How did this fall on you? You win that? I'm sorry. I'm going to regret all this. I already do. Picks coming up. That'll be better. Until I go and make picks. All right. Championship.
I need your help.
With
something. It fits into the picks genre.
Good.
Let's just say.
I'm hoping to have another draft pick before we're done tonight, but the guy on the clock now is taking his time. It's been a run on quarterbacks. round four. Super flex, round four. There were seven quarterbacks picked in this round. And Tua went. I wanted him. I would have taken that chance that he comes back and plays, but I'm not going to get that chance. Back after the update here on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.